What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
I should know it's on.
It's on.
I was with some guys I was meeting, and we were just kind of discussing business and business football and kind of like where we are today and then, you know, foundation and all that stuff. And so I had a guy remind me of a story that he heard about me. He said it was extremely intriguing. It was a two-minute drill. He said he heard me speak at an event, and he said that the way I articulated the two-minute drill and applied that to my life, he was thrown back by it. I really excelled at the two-minute drill. Two-minute drill is one of those things in the game. So much control chaos, but it's like, you know, being on a boat, and it's rain, wind, it's all these things. It's, you have to score. You're trying to achieve something that's unachievable. The defense is coming at you. They're coming in and trying to get a sack. Then you got guys, and all you're doing is literally very little verbal conversations. It's all hand signals and unspoken words. It's looks. It's winks and just body language, just all that stuff. And, you know, I got to read the corner and all that stuff. And so I used to really love the two-minute drill, because two-minute drill really was a place where I really excelled the best, because it was exactly what I was raising in L.A., control chaos. Mm. Or some people say non-control.
I'll say it may not have been
control.
Cause, and I've heard you, I've been blessed enough to been around you a lot, and I've heard you use that analogy a lot. And it's that, you know, kind of bouncing between the two-minute drill is a place where there is chaos. Like you said, there's all these different things, all this information that's being that's going back and forth, and you're saying you thrive in that. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of people would say, whew, I don't know if I can handle this. It's a high-pressure situation. Now I'm thriving based on how you were raised.
Well, and it's chaos, but like the cliche term is it's organized chaos. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't practice it.
We knew we were going into this.
If you don't prepare yourself for different situations in that 2-minute drill, it is going to be chaos. Mm-hmm. But like, that's life in general. So if you can prepare yourself for something like that, and where Steve's going is what life's all about. Mm-hmm. It's you got to move on a dime. You got to be prepared, but you got your work and effort in the gym in the morning, mm-hmm. or in your books in your office, or yeah. in your building and your contractors. You got to be prepared. So when those situations happen, it looks like chaos to all of us.
Right.
But in your mind, man, this is what we work for yeah. every single day, to be that way.
But see, the thing is, not everybody handles the 2-minute drill. Yeah. You see, sometimes there's a lot of mistakes, guys. You get
people fold under pressure,
or you get the fatigue, and it makes you lazy, and it makes you, well, I'm so tired, I can't go back a step. So then you get offsides penalty two or three times in a row, like the Steelers in Chicago game, where the fatigue sets in. That 2 minute, I used to love it, because I would sit there and everything's going on, and Jake or whoever it was, mainly Jake, would give me, because when Cam was there, it was a different offense. Mm-hmm. And we would speak, but with Jake, we would just have numbers. One, Hunt Street Circle. Two, 10 Delay. Three, which is 3D. And four was Reno. Now, Reno actually was the play, if you go back when I hurt my leg, that was an under route in which a former teammate, Hannibal Navy's horse collar. And then that was also when Roy Williams horse collared T.O. as well that year. That's when they banned the horse collar. So that was under Reno.
Yeah.
So we go out there, and everything's going on, and man, Jake is giving me hand signals, and I'm just sitting in my little side, if I'm on the right or the left side, man, and while everybody's going, you got to, whoever gets the ball has to throw the ball to the ref, then you got to go line up, and then are you on the ball, are you off the ball, and I'm sitting over there, just give me my number. Mm-hmm. He gives me a 100 street circle, that's a hitch, an under, a streak, and a stop, and a circle by the running back. Mm-hmm. And, man, I'm sitting there, and I look at the safety. I look at the linebacker, see what the defense is, and then we run another play, 10 delay. Then I got a double in, or I got the – so all of that stuff. And yet, through all of that, I'm sitting calm, collective, just giving me my assignment so I can go to work. And when I got older, that 2-minute drill became – as it became more and more – chaotic, because I learned more and more what it was, and it was a valuable time and critical point. And I understood the gravity of, if we don't execute in this 2-minute drill, we have the opportunity to lose the game. But when I was younger, I never thought about losing the game, because I knew how to operate in this. Because I was kind of naive, as my old coach, Richard Williams, say, blind dog in the meat house. You don't know. You don't know what you don't know. You just smell it, and you follow your sense. And when you're young, you follow your sense. You are aimlessly just going about your business. But when you become older, I became older, and I started to realize I actually don't like the 2-minute drill, because the 2-minute drill became a place of that chaos where I wanted to relax. I wanted to allow my craft to do its work, and not just run around with my head cut off. And so, man, I always liked, and I really think, and a lot of athletes say it, man, how you handle sports is how you're going to handle life. Hmm. And life and sports really, to some degree, depend on which way and which side of the verdict or the result you're on really indicates how you handle it.
I find it interesting, though, that as you got older, you became more uncomfortable, even though your knowledge of the game increased so much.
Because the knowledge of the game made me think so much more that I was not willing to just give me a number and I run it, because sometimes that fool didn't pick the right number sometimes. Gotcha. Or the defense would trick us.
So you lost some of that blind dog in the meat store a little bit, as the more that you gained the information, you lost a little bit. I don't want to say instinct may not be the right word.
No, it was more of, you became more calculated.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
And I think the calculation of it, right? And so, and how do I do that is I looked at the football field and playing football as like the PCH highway If you ever been in California, PCH Highway goes from like Santa Monica all the way up to the Golden State Bridge out in San Francisco. You could go through Santa Cruz, up to Berkeley, up to San Francisco. It's awesome. The PCH Highway is a beautiful strip of land. Over 8-9 hours, you can see some of the best redwoods and see some of the most gorgeous sunsets and some of the best beaches. You can see Santa Monica, you can see Venice, you can see Malibu, Pacific Palisades. You see all these remarkable homes. But there were so many times that I was on PCH Highway, meaning the NFL, and not one time did I stop, put my sunroof down, pull over, and take a selfie with the wife in the sunset. I never really enjoyed the view. I was too busy focused on the outcome. I really say, let your side effect be your confidence, but also have that positive self-talk. And also enjoy and be grateful for whatever you are dealing with, that there is a PCH highway in your path. Stop, smell the roses. Take in the sunset, hold your man or your wife's hand, and enjoy it. Because I'm telling you, you're going to look up one day, you're going to realize 16 years later, damn, I never took that selfie. Who we got?
Coming up on the Cut to It podcast, we've got Austin Eckler, the starting running back for the Los Angeles Chargers. He's one of the NFL's leaders in rushing yardage and rushing touchdowns, but he's also a fantasy football guru and a mainstay on Twitch. Austin Eckler on the Cut to It podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. Looking forward to it.
Yeah,
we're excited. Our first segment is called Get Iced Up.
All right.
Ooh.
What's a pet peeve that gets under your skin?
Pet peeve that gets under my skin?
Yeah.
I have a few. We'll start with the locker room. When people have dirty lockers right next to mine. Right, I got a cataract. So locker room, if you have a dirty locker, every year, beginning of the year, I establish whoever's around me, usually some running backs. All right, here's the common area. This is the area. I don't care what you do in your area, but the common area needs to stay clean. Another one at home, dishes in the sink. Can't do it.
Ooh.
Can't do it. Come on.
That's one passed on from mamas.
Why can't you pass on? They're going to be there tomorrow.
No, man. I need the kitchen to look clean every time I go to bed. So when I come down in the morning, it's like, yeah, that looks beautiful.
So let me ask you this. Do you cook?
Yes.
Can you cook?
I mean, I'm not like gourmet or anything.
I don't say gourmet, but like what is a dish that you've cooked that was certified? Like, cause if you say I can make a grilled cheese, that ain't a cook. So if you ain't a cook, you can't be complaining.
That's eating.
If you can't cook, you can't complain about dishes.
Yeah.
Look, I can get by. I cook some fish. I can use the grill. Like, what do you want?
You put fish on the grill?
Yeah, you can put fish on the grill. Yeah.
You walked into it.
You get some butter. You get some parsley. You get a little garlic salt. Oh yeah, put it on there. Yeah.
Smitty got a theory on that. Yeah.
Oh no, that's a pet peeve.
Yeah, I think that's one of your pet peeves. Fish on a grill.
Bro, seriously?
What about on a smoker? Like smoked salmon.
I mean, that's what a restaurant does, yes.
Yeah, okay. But I'm just saying that's okay.
I don't put fish on the grill.
If you put it on like a wood plank and you smoke it over like low, would you do that?
On my grill?
No, I'm not asking. I'm saying we need it. A smoker and a grill. Like I'm talking about a grill.
Yeah. On my grill.
I ain't talking much. I'm just saying. Period.
At your house, maybe.
Okay. All right.
And you know, if I'm coming over to your house, you probably wouldn't even do it because you know I may say something. Like,
on my grill, I'm cooking whatever I want.
I know you would, but do you smoke salmon?
Absolutely.
On your grill,
it's delicious.
Okay. I ain't putting no fish on my damn grill. Disrespectful. You might as well come to my house and try to bring your own meat, try to put it on my grill. Pause. Are you one of those guys? You one of those guys? Huh?
I can't say I've done that, no.
Good. I had a dude one time come to my house and say, hey man, do you mind? I looked at him, his name was Willie. I said, hell no, you can't cook on my grill, bro. Yeah. He goes, really? I said, not in this house.
You just don't waltz into someone's house and start operating their grill.
You might as well be an intruder.
You're right.
You know how we handle intruders. Look out, Austin is totally—he's totally done with this podcast right now.
You might as well move on them too.
We're good, bro. Let's go. Like,
all right, your favorite memory as a kid.
Gosh, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
There's nothing that really stands out. I guess they haven't thought about it.
Yeah. Okay, we can skip that one. Can we skip that?
Okay.
Like Family Feud, pass. Okay. All right. The last song you listen to before you go out and play in the game.
I actually have been on a no music vibe this last couple weeks, but
that would explain what happened then, huh?
Oh wow.
What are we talking about?
I had to. You know I'm an old Raven now. I've
actually been using this like visualization technique.
It ain't working, bro. You need to go back to the music, dog.
It ain't working. Boy, I've been using it all season.
It's only week six.
Not just this last game. This last game we got our ass kicked.
Yeah, buzzsaw.
That's what it was.
Raven flock.
Yeah, the Ravens, they brought it, man. Yeah. I know.
You didn't get that.
He was there.
Hey, you didn't visualize that ass whooping up.
Oh my god.
Oh man. All right. You wanna know one of mine?
Yeah, what you got?
Adele.
Bro.
Adele, really?
Yes.
Adele before the game is savage mode.
Yes.
Okay.
He wants to say something, but he's not sure.
You share your thoughts. No,
bro, I got an open mind, man. I'm not very judgmental, man. Like,
I am. I'm a judge.
You rock what you want to.
I'm a damn judge.
Rock what you want to.
Yeah, a damn.
Telling you, that reminds me of MJ The Last Dance, where MJ pregame is listening to Kenny Lattimore.
Yeah, and
that's some savage stuff, bro.
I like Adele, bro. Her new song, Fire.
I'm about to listen to it.
Yeah. What it got me a little bit, though?
What's the song called?
Easy On.
I hope we got rights to this.
I mean, we ain't playing it.
You don't got to play it.
No, we're not playing it. We can't afford that. We still on the budget.
Shout out to iHeart.
No, you're good. I'm going to look into it.
Let's
see what you're rocking.
Yeah. I like Adele, though, bro. Easy On is pretty good. So my go-to, though?
What's that?
Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with
that. I roll in the deep and then go peel back on the linebacker. That was before they hit the rules. I hit the rules. I go, boom! Deep.
Yeah. Right night.
All right. All right, here's the last one. This is this is actually a really good one, and I think you can really appreciate it. And this is you're going to steal it. And that's cool. Just make sure I get the credit. All right. If you were president – and you had three people to assist you, who would you pick and why?
Wow.
Yeah. So we're not even focusing on the president part, just the three people that would help you. And why would you pick those three people?
My mother.
Why?
Absolutely. She's been my caretaker. She's a single mom, raising me and my little bro, who would be my other pick.
Okay. Because
that's family. That's my closest family. That's the family that I got.
So if that's your closest family, is he the cleanup guy?
The cleanup.
Because we all got a family member that we roll with.
Yeah.
They don't really know how to do anything, but they can clean up some messes.
Here's the thing, man. He's going to learn. My little brother, he's a grinder just like I am.
He's the cleaner.
He's going to learn, right?
He's the cleaner.
Hey, regardless, everyone's got their role, man. Everyone's got their role, bro.
All right, so mom, brother.
And then Cameron Weiss, he's become one of my best friends over the years. He's also my attorney, business partner, one of my best friends that I've been working with for a long time.
Oh. So he got his whole little house of cards.
You got two cleaners then, huh?
Yeah. You got the lawyer and the cleaner?
You got the physical cleaner and then the cleaner said it didn't happen.
Right.
The mastermind behind it.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, cool. All right, so how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah. Doing great. It's Tuesday, which is usually my community day where I'm really trying to connect and just get out there and talk to people.
Wow. You got a whole day designated to community.
That's
a priority then.
Man, we feel honored then that you're going to spend that community time.
I honestly feel honored. Like I love when people have podcasts, when people want to bring me on because I'm like, yes. Like I think this is something that guys in the league, just people in general that have a platform should do more often because I don't think people understand the actual importance of media and community and connecting, especially for after your sport is over. Like that's when it really plays a part so you can actually go out and do something that you want to do.
It's not often that a lot of people think about that at this point in their career. Why is that so front of mind for you?
Millennials. That's serious.
No, it's because I never thought I was going to be in the NFL.
Do elaborate.
I never sat out. I was never like, oh, I'm going to go to the NFL when I'm playing in college. I went to a Division II school. I focused everything I could on my involvements, which was football and my education. And I thought I was going to go into the business world. I thought I was going to get into real estate. And then football gave me an opportunity. And I put everything in my power to go and take advantage of that opportunity to try to make it work. Ended up working out. And so that mindset stayed with me. I always knew football was going to be a starting point for me, but not the end point. Right. And so now I'm in football. I have this platform. I'm going to use it as a tool to better myself as a person and also connect and get a head start on kind of, you know, the things that I perceive me. I kind of like, I guess, let me back up, my passions, right? It's pushing me towards my passions and helping me connect with people in that space. And my passion is connecting with people and helping people. That's why I have my foundation. That's why I started like some of my companies that I have, is to help people better themselves by giving them resources so they can learn more about themselves and they can become a better version of themselves. And I really find fulfillment in that. So that's why I'm using this platform to get back to that. And so that's why, you know, I think my mindset is based on that, is because it was never about football for me. And now I'm using football, absolutely, but it's still more about people.
How do you keep focus on the sport of playing football and performing and not making it, you know, you hear people, you hear, I say millennials, you hear a lot of young guys now in the league talking about their brand and, you know, being a part of PA, I was a player rep, so hearing about the PAs, you know, hearing about all these young guys talking about, man, I gotta make sure my brand is on point. But if your brand, if you can't, if you you could be a brand corner, but if you can't fucking stop nobody, that brand gonna tarnish real quick.
Well, here's the thing, man, football is giving me all these opportunities that I've had to this day, and so,
but you gotta mindset, keep playing though and making plays to maintain.
100% you have to be relevant.
Yeah,
you know, the more relevant you are, the easier it's going to be to get connections, stuff like that. You can still get connections just having this, being part of the Shield, but they don't run as deep. But here's the thing. My mindset has been football because this is what's got me here to this point. And see, so that's like why that. That's how I don't get distracted.
See, I like
that's why
that.
Tuesday is a big day for me.
See, I like that, because there are times where guys consume themselves with their brand, and then they start to believe that their brand is so big. And then you look at their stats and they don't align. You're an all-star in the community, but you're a bench warmer on the field. No, I'm dead serious. No,
that's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Yeah, you see, I think you see it a lot, where people skew more towards the brand and forget why they're there in the first place.
I tell you what, talking to Austin right now, being a Los Angeles Charger, not talking about his team, but there's some dudes on his team right now are average. But because they're in a big market, they think they're a lot better than what they are. It's Look probably. At that boy had a snicker. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm sure it's easier to get connected when you're in one of those large markets, New York or LA or Miami.
Man, you be talking to guys, and I'm like, I'm sitting there going, he's on special teams. And it's nothing wrong with being on special teams, but then when I'm talking, like, I've had conversations with dudes where I felt like, I gotta go, man, I gotta Google myself, because I just had, this interaction was off.
Hey, a phrase I like to say is, you gotta keep the main thing the main thing.
That's true, though.
Keep the main thing the main thing, right? And then, you know, then you can do stuff on the side. But yeah, absolutely. You gotta make a presence, just obviously build a brand that's, you know, substantial. But no, I feel you, man. It's, you gotta stay on track.
Bro, it's
you establish yourself.
He's giggling because he knows there's some guys on his team right
now. Facts. That's on every team.
Bro, no, it's on bigger city teams, though. Because you ain't, I don't run up against a dude. I ain't never ran up against a dude in Cincinnati thinking
he's just parlaying.
Yeah. I'm an average cat. Yeah. Where, you know, what up, little homie? Like, excuse me? All right, so I was, where was I? I forgot which team. I was somewhere, and the dude was like, yeah, man, you know, I check you out here and there. Yeah. I looked at him, I said, excuse me? You check me out. Like he was, like telling me, like he did me, he was doing me a favor, and I was just like, man, he in a big market. That big market got him confused with himself.
Look, you got to use it though. That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah. You got to use the market. If you have it, use it. Like you can't be on people's heads because they're not, you know, the guy on their team, but they're trying to, you know, connect. Like,
nah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, great example is current right now. DK Metcalf is wiping his booty with Shannon Sharpe stats.
Excuse me?
What? That's what he said.
He said he wiped his.
He said, you washed up. Wannabe.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I missed. Wow. I literally
so if you go to one. Cut to it, my social media, I went and looked up 8-time Pro Bowler, Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe, and then I looked up DJ's stats. And I know they're skewed because of time, but I just had to look them up because I was trying to figure out which number is DK wiping his butt with. Is it the 10,000 thou wow, 10,000 yards, the 62 touchdowns, or the Hall of Fame, or the 8 Pro Bowls? Trying to figure out which one is he using it.
See, hey, man, here's my thing.
Yeah.
Like I told you, I keep an open mind. So yeah. I'm never being like, I'm better than you. I'm better than, like, that's when you can get in trouble.
There are some trouble. Guys I'm better than, though. I know that for
no,
a fact.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, there's a few guys I know I'm better than.
Today, right now.
At 42.
At 42, right now.
Right now.
I don't want you to implicate nobody. I'm just keeping the conversation going.
Oh, there are some DBs who will try to come press me. Uh-huh. No chance.
No chance.
No chance.
I love
now,
it.
I may not be able to go get that go ball like I used to at 42, but I will punish this DB trying to press me, though.
You ain't even worried about that ball.
I ain't worried about this ball. You go catch.
I'm not worried about that route. I'm not worried. You didn't even say anything about the route.
You about to get 4 wings. Dot, dot, dot. I love Cut to It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut to It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut to It.
Facebook?
Cut to It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. CutToItPodcast.com.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
All right, last one. For this time that we've had you scheduled on the podcast, it's been killing me, and I got to get it in my notes. It's in red. You got to explain this cooked eggs and raw eggs nonsense.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I don't know. Like, having raw or not having cooked eggs, whether they're scrambled, hard, whatever it is, it just makes me like want to throw up. Like,
It's a texture thing.
I don't know if it's a texture or if I just had a rotten one time, but it's for me, it's ruined. It's ruined.
To make up for that, you eat raw eggs.
So no, I don't eat. I'm not like Rocky, like cracking it in my mouth type stuff. No, it's, I put it in like a smoothie. Yeah, I'll crack a few raw eggs
for the protein.
Smoothie. Yeah.
Okay.
But I've had people try my smoothie. They're like, bro, that is absolutely terrible. Like, it gets me my nutrients, so it is what it is.
It's acquired taste.
Would not recommend.
Yeah. Hey, look. The thing is, I'm not gonna throw up. So I still want
to do that.
Right. So it works for you.
I'm good.
All right. Hey, so where are you from in a place you call your hometown?
Eaton, Colorado, tiny town.
Where's that at in regards to Aspen?
Aspen is in the mountains, so I'm like northeast corner of Colorado.
How far is that from downtown Denver then?
From Denver, probably hour and a half drive.
Oh, okay. So I can hit you. You'll hit that, your hometown, before you hit Aspen then. From downtown, huh?
It depends on where you're coming from. Yeah. It's Denver. Aspen's west of Denver. Yeah. I'm east of Denver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like northeast. So, small town, man. Like I said, like you said, out in the farmlands, man. Like cornfields all around, one stoplight town. Ooh. Tiny little town, but good.
Is it a stoplight or a stop sign?
Stoplight. Okay. We had one stoplight when I was there. It's grown since.
Was it like yellow, red, green, or was it just red?
We had all three colors. It's like one of those towns you go through on the highway and you just like stop.
So he can turn, yield, angle.
Yeah. You know, if you get too many city folk in there and it's just one, nobody knows where to go.
Right.
Is it to the right or to the left?
What's the sign thing? I got to yield to the right.
All right. So growing up, you know, how did it make you look at the world through the lens that you see today?
I became a product of my environment. And when you're working on the ranch, you're a ranch hand, you're building fence, you're playing sports, like it's just engraved in you. Like you just grind. Like it doesn't matter. You can be good. You can be bad. Like, there's no excuses. Like you just grind, whether it's to get the job done. Like I remember, you know, my mom's ex-husband, he get these jobs. Like he's a fence builder. And these are not just like your picket fence.
Child labor law. This is like
20 miles of barbed wire fence, like over the summer. Like we're talking mega projects. So we're out here like grinding, no excuses, or you know, you're not gonna like the consequences kind of thing. And so I was in a situation where I like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of this. Wow. And I knew I need to get out. And so it engraved this work ethic in me that I didn't complain because I knew I couldn't, but I just grinded. I just worked and finally got into this situation where I get out of there got into college. And now I can kind of choose my fate and what I wanted to get into. Mm-hmm. And that mindset stayed with me. It was like, look, this is what your life depends on right here. You having success, whether it's in your education or your football career. And that stayed with me and it stayed with me now. And now football is obviously my opportunity and it stays with me now. That's why I never forget. That's why I always connect with community, because it took so many people and so many connections and so many people to continue to be around me and help me out in my mindset to get me to this point that now I'm trying to help other people do that. So that's what Eaton, Colorado, like it for me, it wasn't always the best, just situation, but it definitely helped me as far as get my mindset right for, you know, this opportunity.
So I talked about that. My wife is like, she's so all about self-efficiency, right? And she wants a farm so bad, bro. Like, we're driving around. We drove to Marshall, North Carolina, which is, I live in Charlotte, right? I live outside of Charlotte, like 30 miles outside of Charlotte. I was closer in Marshall, North Carolina to Tennessee than I was to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. It was 3 hours each way. It was 16 acres. They had a goal. It was just, she loves it. I'm a city boy, man. Ain't nothing about me.
Speak to farm, like start the farming and man, look, ranch hands.
Let me say, farm the table ain't in my day. Right?
Yeah, man. I was 20 miles away from my school. So every day, drive 20 miles into school. Like,
you didn't
have to
walk? You didn't dredge through snow?
Walk uphill both ways. No, but literally, like I lived on like a plot of land. It was 80 acres, which sounds like a lot, but in that area, that's just normal, just because it's just normal? Nothing but
that's nothing but dirt. That's a lot of land.
That's a lot of land, but like I think my mom ended up selling that place for like 300K. So like this is just straight dirt. Like you can buy land in this area. It's just nothing but land. There's no development. There's nothing there.
So it's the place where when you escape prison, that's where you go.
Yeah, get out there at the ranch. Get out there in the plains of Colorado. No one's gonna find you.
So tell me, what is the good and the bad for me? If talk me into it, out of it, like what would be the advantage and disadvantages of it? Because you experienced it as a kid, and you know what it's done for you as an adult.
Yeah.
Right? So
cool the way you've connected those dots, man.
Like your 10,000 foot view of it. Of being a kid, being raised on it, and now being an adult and seeing how that work ethic actually helped you become who the great player you are, the fantastic player you are right now, and give you that mindset. So, you know, sell me on why I should or should not do it.
Well, here's the thing. It wasn't my choice to be out there.
Why I'm asking you.
My choice to be out there. If I had to do it again, I wouldn't be out there.
I have a pen. Go ahead.
You see, he in a nice leather chair right now, so it ain't exactly he patched in from the farm right now.
Look, I even grew up in that life, man. I rode bulls for a few years, like
wow, ranch. There's two of us now. There's two black men that rode bulls on this podcast.
And G ain't one of them.
Mine was mechanical, but anyway.
Okay. No, I'm talking live animal.
Nah, Steve was over here. He was in the Genuine Pony video. I don't know if you saw that.
In which video?
Never mind. I forgot age difference.
No, so I was in Thursday night. Where was that? Oh, we was in Philly, and they had a mechanical bull. And I'm like, I want to ride the bull. And they're like, really? I'm like, yes. And they're like, you in a suit. I said, that's even better. That just shows you my athleticism. And so I rode a mechanical bull in a suit.
Nice. I saw that video. I'm like, whoa, what in the hell?
And they were like, but the dude that was doing it, I had to give him a look. Like first I gave him a side eye, then I just gave him a stare like, hey, bro, your job ain't to make me fall off, dog. Mm-hmm. This is just a little experiment to say I did it. He over there like, yeah, I'm going to make Steve.
Let's go test this man.
Yeah. And so I actually fell off because I sensed it was starting to speed up. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, this suit right now really ain't trying to get split right now.
He took it from JV to varsity real quick.
He took it. No, he took D1.
Oh, he even skipped it.
He skipped one. I know. I realized it was time to get off. Pause. Because my calf was starting to cramp up.
Right.
No, I'm dead serious because they say, you know, you got
to squeeze. Yeah, squeeze through the leg.
I was over there like, my right leg said, boy, you better slow down. We're going to give out.
I'm going to just advance pause this whole segment. So we're just going to give a blanket one.
All right, so tell me. So, like, sell him on the farm
or squash his dreams.
First off, you're not going to need that suit out there. You ain't going to need that because you're not going to be having any types of events like that unless you actually drive somewhere, which you're going to have to drive because you're out in the country. About the only thing that I enjoyed about it was actually having space. Like, you actually see, like, space, like, as far as, like, just wilderness. Like, you're not concrete jungle. Other than that, I was not a fan. I was just locked in my room playing video games, hanging out with a little bro, not really trying to interact.
Did you have any animals?
Yeah, we had horses, we had some cows, we had chickens, we had a goat that was so mean. We had this goat, man, let me tell you, if you stepped outside, he would come from our horse pens. You had to go out with a wiffle ball bat to protect yourself from this goat, because this goat
What is it with Chargers running backs and goats?
Yes, LT was on here. LT was on here talking about a goat story in which his uncle and his dad tried to get him to kill a goat.
Yeah, this goat trying to kill you. You go outside, he's sprinting across the lawn. You could literally beating him with a wiffle ball bat, trying to get him off you. So yeah, that was a thing.
So did you have to pick eggs? You had to pick up.
Oh yeah. You go pick up eggs. Take care of the chickens because you can't have them out overnight because of coyotes. Yeah. There's a lot of coyotes out there. stuff like that. So it's definitely, if you're into like, hey, you're gonna take care, live off the land like your wife sounds like she is, self-efficient, then you can make it work. But you're gonna have to realize there's not a lot of opportunity out there. There's a lot of no social life. My closest neighbor was like half a mile away, and we didn't even talk to them.
Well, how far was the mall?
Our other neighbor, who was 3 miles away.
How far was the mall from your house?
The mall, wow. Probably 45 to 50 minutes.
Wow. That's a long commute.
20 minutes to school?
20 minutes to school or to get groceries, yeah.
Did they have a bus that come?
No, the bus didn't go that far. I was outside the district.
Dang.
Did having those chores at a young age, was it helpful?
Absolutely. Absolutely it was helpful. It taught me that, hey, look, sometimes you got to do stuff in life that you don't like to do. Mm-hmm. Definitely taught me that. I remember, I think the worst job that I had out there was, I had to feed and water horses year round, which I didn't like because they weren't my horses. I didn't ride them. And I was like, what the hell? But in the wintertime in Colorado, it snows. And guess what? Horses can't break their own ice. We didn't have any like bubblers or anything. So I'm out there with a sledgehammer breaking ice, watering horses during the wintertime. Try to forget those memories, God, but definitely taught me, hey, look, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get by and make sure, you know, everything's taken care of. So as far as the mindset is working. Yeah.
What time did you wake up in the mornings?
Probably 6:30.
And 6:30, what did that entail?
6:30, wake up, go downstairs, put on some clothes. If say it's the wintertime, got to put on some clothes so you actually go outside, feed the horses, make sure their ice is broken so they can drink, then go back inside, shower, get ready for school and ready for the day.
Man, that's work.
I'm straight.
So what's the verdict?
I'm not gonna say what the verdict
is. My bad. head honcho ain't here.
Oh God. Ninja ain't trying to do all that. I work too hard to be.
All right. Well, also we got a section called Let's Talk Ball. We'll hit on a little bit of your career and how you're performing as an athlete. So now you're a captain on the Chargers. How's your approach to the game changed from 2017 to today?
My approach hasn't changed at all. The moment, you know, I was like, hey, you have a pro day. Like I literally dropped everything and put every ounce of effort that I could into football. I was like, this is the biggest opportunity I've ever had. There's not going to be any ounce of my body that says, hey, I wish I would have tried harder. So I dropped everything. I told my family, look, I know you guys are excited for me, but like, just chill. Let me do this. We'll talk after. I went and trained down in Denver. I actually dropped out my last semester of college just to focus on training and just went all in. I went all in as much as I possibly could. I did that. And at the end of the fourth preseason game, I got asked like, hey, do you feel like you made the team? And I was like, I don't know if I made the team, but I do know one thing is that I couldn't have tried any harder. That was all you can get from Austin Ekeler. And that was my mindset. And that stayed with me because that's what's made me, you know, take advantage of opportunities, right? I ended up making the team. And then my role was special teams. I'm a special teams. And to me, I was never a backup. I'm not a backup. Like I'm starting in my role, like on paper, I might be a backup, but I'm out here making my plays out here on special teams. Cause that's my opportunity.
That's part of the three phases to
absolutely
to have a winning product.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so that's what it was for me. And that mindset continued to stay with me cause it came into next year. Now I had more, you know, offensive, you know, action just cause that my role continued to change as I continued to optimize my opportunities. And like, so that's why I said nothing's changed besides my role. Like my mindset is still the same. I still am. And now I'm even trying to help my young guys. Like, guys, I need you. Like, let's go. Like, I'm not Derrick Henry out here, just big old bruiser, you know, Nick Chubb. We can take the entire game, right? Like, I'm 195 pound, 5'8". Like, boys, I need you. Let's go. Just good for them too. Like, just have a positive room. But it's been a progression as far as just my role has changed, not necessarily my mindset.
Could do it. Could do it. Let's get down to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from cuttoitpodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You being who you are and being raised on a farm and dealing with what you dealt with gave you every opportunity that was afforded to you by being at the right place at the right time and applying the right amount of hard work on a consistent basis. All of a sudden, Melvin Gordon believes he deserves more money that they're offering. And that's where you, that's where opportunity comes. And you took full advantage of it. How awkward, difficult, interesting was it? You stepped into that role. Anthony Lynn is the head coach who used to be a running backs coach who understands, right? Very level-headed. You getting your opportunity. Melvin Gordon's holding out, waiting for more money. And you out here becoming a starting running back based off of opportunity. How did you handle that? And did it ever become awkward because of, you know, the current situation at that time? And it's been a few years now, and he's doing great. You're doing great. So it's just more of I've never had that. Mm-hmm. And so this is an opportunity to ask you, because very rarely have we been afforded to talk to I like to call it the Wally Pip, right? Somebody got the opportunity, you took advantage of it by happenstance, and, you know, and that's just how it is. You didn't get to pick it. You just get to receive the opportunities you're given.
Absolutely. You couldn't have said any better. You know, and that's what you have to deal with, right? That's what you have to stay patient. You have to stay patient and deal with the opportunities that you have at hand. And in that situation, even leading up to that, the year before that, before he held out, like we were splitting. We were like 50-50.
Yeah, y'all.
And I wasn't doing bad, man. You ask the fantasy community, like, man, you're killing it.
The first time ever on Cut to It, the fantasy community.
Oh, Austin tapped in.
Hey, is a character witness to Austin Eckler's career on trial.
Oh, yeah. Austin tapped in with the fantasy community.
That's the fantasy community.
He got segments, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm in there. I told you I'm about the community, man. Yeah. About people. But, like, I'm playing well. I'm consistent, man. I'm efficient. Like, I'm not flashy or anything like that. I've never been flashy, but I'm consistent and efficient. And what do you need in this league? You need to be consistent. You need to be efficient, right? And so it came into that year, and he told us actually in OTAs he's going to be holding out. I'm just like, that's his situation. That's what they've decided on his end. It's like, But I mean, that changes nothing for me. My mindset's still the same, man. My role's changed. But guess what? I'm still coming in as a starter. Now I'm actually a starter on paper. And I get three games, and I was going off though.
Yo, you was bummed.
Yeah, I was going off, and it kind of just, I think it shook up the situation. Then he ended up coming back earlier than expected. Uh-huh. It's like, wait a minute. Like, I got to make sure I get back and get my reps. And I hurt him, man. I feel bad for the guy too. Cause it's like, you sat out all this time, and it was so obvious too. Cause when he came back, it was just like, it wasn't the same Melvin Gordon that I've been used to seeing. Right. It's cause he missed all the OTAs, all of preseason, four games, and then just kind of get thrown in.
You can't simulate. You can train all you want. You can't simulate game speed.
Never.
You never. Well, when he tells you in training camp, I mean, he tells you in OTAs, man, I'm sitting out. Head, you know, in the helmet, you're like, really? But in your heart, what were you thinking?
Bro, I already knew I was going to get my reps. I already know I'm getting my reps, man.
You were like, I just got four more reps. Appreciate it.
It's not even about that.
No, like, I know what you're saying. I'm just like, asking because it's usually stuff like that just doesn't happen. Like, hey, yo, I'm holding out. It's more like, man, he's holding out. Shocker. It was like.
Opportunity and preparation meet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was ready. I was already ready. I was ready before then. Yeah. And now it's like, hey, now you're going to get a test. This is a test. Opportunity. Can you hold, carry the load? Which after 4 weeks of carrying load, I was like, God damn, which
you saw it. No, you're good. You're good.
I was like, thank God he's back. Like my body, man.
Yeah, he's over there like, man. Hey Melv, I know I'm the starter, but I need you to get some of these other passes that I ain't running. Here,
and you actually kind of led into the next question. What's your off season regimen consist of? You're known for the way you take care of your body. What does that regimen look like?
He ain't number 5'8".
Hey, listen, okay. Hey, yeah.
I'm 5'9", so I'm much taller, so I know.
Working out, man. That's literally what I do. I'm working out.
You a gym rat? Out.
Gym rat, bro. It's like therapeutic for me, honestly. Yeah. Like, I'm working out. Like, I don't know if you've seen my videos. It's just like I work out.
I haven't watched your video.
No, I have a few videos. I do a couple challenges. I did this like one-arm pull-up. I did like four one-arm pull-ups, and I did like the 405 squat challenge. Ooh. Which no one, flex, I did like 13 reps on 405 challenge. I'm just challenging people. Like out here, like, hey, who's out here lifting like this?
13 reps at 405.
You know, just that's just who I am.
Look at me like that's what I do, baby.
It really is. Like it's like my happy place when I'm just want to get away, clear the mind, like I just go lift. Like when I'm bye week, you know, I'm in there getting a good lift in this morning.
My knees just say, try 405 and 13. Try me if you want to.
We out of here.
My knees may say, okay, my knees say we got it. You know who ain't? Right. ACL,
yeah,
MCL, PCL, yeah. LCL.
We're not gonna be here.
Yeah. Patella say, Magic Johnson. Right. How was the jump from D2 to the NFL?
For me, particularly, there's a lot of unknowns. So many unknowns. It's because I didn't come from a D2 that like, hey, they've had a few NFL, you know, guys in the past. Like it was me. Like it was me. I was the first one that made it from the NFL. They've never even seen a call NFL scout up at, you know, Western Colorado before.
Say
then.
It ain't so.
I'm not capping. Like that's the thing. So there was so much uncertainty. Like I didn't know if I was getting. I was definitely good in my situation in D2, dominated for 4 years. But it was as far as like, you know, D1 or even further going into the NFL is like I don't understand or know how I like, you know, compared to these guys, right? And I didn't know that until I got to my pro day when I was like, you know what, like I can hang, like my measurables are great, like, you know, my mind, I feel like I'm with it, you know, mentally I can understand a playbook. Definitely struggled, but that was the biggest thing, that it was the unknown, which I mean it's probably the same from D1 to NFL, but from D2 when I'm not around any of these guys, like, oh, you know, I have a buddy that played here last year that's in the league now. He's not telling me. I didn't have any of that. So I think the biggest thing was just, that's why I cared so much about it. I was just like, hey, I'm putting everything into this. I'm going in blind. And you're going in blind. You better make sure you're prepared. Right. So that's what it was for me. And that was the biggest change.
Was it that pro day that made it feel real? Or when did it get real? Really real?
Real, real.
Real as in like, hey, I might have a shot.
Correct. Yeah.
I think it was when we were pro day training, when I was all training right. for my pro day. Cause then I'm around, cause I actually trained with Christian McCaffrey. So it was like a perfect, like, comparison for me to be like, okay, let me size myself up. Like I was way stronger than him. And I mean, yeah, he was faster and had, you know, his dad, obviously Ed, was helping him as far as like technique, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I could see them working. And I'm watching him like move around. Like he has definitely his strength. I have my strengths, but I was like, you know what? Like, you know, I can hang with this guy. And that's where it really started to become real for me. Was during pro day training, getting around some of the other D1s, some of the draft picks. And then, yeah, then so finally got my opportunity.
When you had your pro day, was it at the college or was it down at the facility you were training at?
So Western Colorado is in the mountains about 7,800 feet. So during pro day time of the year, there's snow everywhere on the ground. So I had to go to CU because we don't have indoor up there. So literally, y'all would have been doing it in the snow.
Y'all were practicing outside?
Yeah, so our spring ball wasn't until really late until the snow starts to melt because they literally have to come in with like bulldozers and take the snow out of the town because it doesn't melt. It just stays around during the winter.
Dang.
Oh. Yeah, crazy. Crazy little town.
Put that on a pamphlet. Yeah, you screw your Airbnb money up.
Oh, yeah.
So you had to go to University of Colorado.
Yeah, CU Boulder.
Yeah. And so you did your pro day. Did you have to, I'm imagining you had to seek permission.
Yeah. So it was actually kind of savage the way they did it because you had to seek permission to be in what they call like the add-on group, which is let the CU guys go. And then after is the add-on group, which I was a part of. And so there's like 20 of us and they let all of us run a 40 and they let all of us do the jumps. And then after that, they cut everyone besides me in some other corner. So there was like 18, 20 people that are just like, hey, we don't need to see anymore. And so straight up, I was just like, wow, these people were, you can imagine how they're feeling. Cause they just trained all this and they just did a couple measurables and they were done. Didn't do any drills, nothing. So they cut it down to two of us. And so it was me. I did some running back drills, finished out the day. So luckily I made the cut and got the opportunity. Most of the scouts stayed to watch me in that corner perform. And
who's the corner?
I don't remember who he was. I don't even know. But yeah, there was a lot of upset, you know, agents, trainers.
Oh, they were hot.
Players. Oh my God.
Fish grease.
They're yelling at these scouts, man. Like, this is some BS. And I'm like, straight up. Yeah.
Straight up. But I'm about to run this. Right. I'm about to hit these drills.
I'm like, hey, well, I made the cut. So I'm going to go do some drills. Yeah.
As my son Peyton would say, wham. I think this is an interesting one, so I have to be very careful on how I say this. You're a Los Angeles Charger, but you weren't always a Los Angeles Charger. At some point, you were a San Diego Charger.
I was never in San Diego.
No.
I've always been an L.A. Charger.
Oh, okay.
5 years, man. We've been up here a while now.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
The reason I phrase it that way is, when you guys were at the, I think it was the Home Depot Center, right? And or playing at the soccer stadium.
Oh, yeah. StubHub.
Yes. When y'all first got there, it was like a away game every game. Because I worked that game. Mm. Bro, when the San Diego Chargers left, right? Because I know, you know, Eric Weddle, me and him played college ball together.
Okay.
Right. And he was telling me how, like, just how bad it was. Like, the fans just did not want them to leave. Mm. And it was a city and football and NFL thing, right? It wasn't, and the fans got caught in the middle. And when they were at the StubHub Center, man, it was like a away game for them every game.
That's a different dynamic.
Bro, I'm like, every game. Am I exaggerating?
I have played away games. We had to go on silent count in our own home games for like, still we
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, but y'all balling though. Y'all balling right now.
Yeah. So let me ask you one.
To switch up.
Go ahead.
Did you always know you're going to get into some type of podcast or how'd you come into this space as far as just creating content?
Absolutely. That's a great question.
That is awesome. Bro, these dudes been working on me for like 2-3 years. A podcast to me back in the day when they were trying to get me to do it was like blue cheese, which I hate. Mm. Like I had no desire to do a podcast. Like I wouldn't even listen to podcasts. You asked me to go on a podcast, I'm like, man, I'm not doing that shit on a podcast. Stupid ass podcast.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, hey, you want to come on a podcast? You're
right. You're right.
Hey, Austin, you want to come on a podcast?
Yeah.
I just started doing it. I started doing a podcast So we were in, we were actually going to Colorado. We're going to Colorado.
Let's go.
And he was like, bro, you should think about podcasts. I said, all right.
Which we've been talking about for about a year at least prior. At least, yeah.
I said, all right, I'll do the podcast under one condition. We do it my way. And G's like,
what other way was it going to be?
Like anything right, let's else. Go.
Right. Sign him up.
Right. And so how I did it is I said, all right, if we're going to do the podcast, let's do it in a way. And he was like, well, what do you mean your way? Well, being a figure, the athletic figure I am, people would always have a disposition or a prejudice towards me.
Or, yeah, or like a preconceived notion.
A preconceived notion. Like I had a guy, I spoke at an event a couple of weeks ago, and I had a guy, this is what he told me, straight to my face. No lie, straight facts. Boy, no way, boy. This is what he says. Never really liked you as a football player. But as a man, really respect you. Like, I didn't know how to take that. And then he handed me his business card. Would you like to know what I did with that business card?
What'd you do?
I looked at it. And I Googled his stuff. Because I just didn't understand how he thought he was giving me a compliment. I didn't like you as a player. Like, okay. Like, I'm not a restaurant. Like, you could choose, but I just didn't know how to take it. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that's how a lot of people are. They either like you and they are Austin Eckler, Steve Smith fan, or they're not. And nothing you can do will change that. Actually, the more stuff that you humanize yourself, that actually turns them off. They're like, oh, he's trying to act like he's a regular guy. Mm. How dare him. And so I took the podcast, said, all right, we do it. Let's do the podcast on sports. Let's talk to sports people, but let's talk about them. So the nickname of, you know, we went through all these names, Copacetic. What was something else?
Cutting Room Floor.
Yep.
The Flat Bill Chronicles.
Yep.
These are some of the, see, now we're in behind the scenes. We're in the behind the scenes of the how the
how thing went down. I like the Flat
Bill
Chronicles.
That was up there.
Hey, B, we might have an episode of the Flat Bill Chronicles.
Yeah.
Hey, well, let me say this, man. I think you're in the right space, man, because I think we need more people like yourself that are actually willing and capable of doing this, because there's so much to break down when it comes to the building blocks of how people become who they are, and especially someone of your caliber of just influence. Mm-hmm. Like, you have connections to people, and that people will talk to you. People will come on your podcast.
You want to hear the sad part?
What's that?
I don't utilize as much connections that I have. Bro, I really struggle with my connections. Because of the insecurity, because of some of the stuff that I've dealt with growing up, that I just... And because how many people want things from us, I don't want to be that guy that's wanting things from other people. And so the internal dialogue is, man, I'm just like everybody else, asking people for their time, asking them for something. And so this podcast also actually stretches me, because now I have to say, which, as a young man who's dealt with some of the things I dealt with, I need you. I need you to help me on my podcast, will you? Bro, a lot of, like, talking myself into it. Man, I got a guy right now that I'm not going to say that I want to have on a podcast, and I hesitate on asking that individual because I don't want to come off the wrong way. I don't want him to come off feeling used by me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% get it. There's so many mindsets that you can have when it comes to a podcast.
Yeah.
And I'll play devil's advocate. Okay. Like, I'll play the other side. You know, from someone like my perception of this, even how you can approach people is like, it's just breaking it down. Like I said, let's break down life. Let's go. Let's just chat it up. It's casual. Like, yeah, I like how you keep it casual, right? Because it's not like you're asking. It's like, let's just shoot shit.
Yeah.
Let's go talk. Let's chat it up.
We wanted one of the names. Chop it up.
Yeah. Well, that was taken.
That was taken.
So it doesn't fit. It doesn't shooting feel as like
it was shooting the breeze. That's what it was. It was shooting the breeze. We went chopping it. Shoot the breeze.
Nope.
Yeah. We went down that path.
Keeping it copacetic. So kept going off the West Coast. Keeping it copacetic. There was a dude that had it, but he had a different word. Mm-hmm. But his keeping it copacetic. He actually his podcast is he served time, and so his is they communicate with other guys that are coming back into the world through prison. I was like, man, I don't want to infringe or get our name mixed up. So I was like, we just gonna stay away from it because it was a dude from the West Coast doing his thing, and I was like, nah, man, it's tough in these streets already. I don't need competition. I don't want to take from him. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so man, this has been pretty.
Yeah,
cool.
I mean, you can't ask for a better wrap up than that. And we got Austin to co-sign us, man.
Yeah, I like that.
Come on.
So I'll tell you. You know, the whole premise on the podcast is just really, like you said, is just conversating, is being about you and learning about you, because there are some fans who don't know what you experience. They just see you on the football field, right? They just see what you tweet or what you have on IG or Facebook or Twitch, whatever it is, but they don't hear the real story that realize that you grew up on a farm, getting up at 6:30 in the morning to
almost get killed
chisel water, and then getting your ass beat by a goat every morning, right? A middle linebacker, easy,
right?
Light work, right?
Billy Goat coming across.
Yeah, Billy Goat.
You
get triggered.
So what was that Billy Goat's name?
We didn't name it. It's too mean. We had another goat that was named Betsy. We liked Betsy, but that one.
That's a black folks' right name right there, Betsy. That's like a car or something. Brown Oldsmobile. That was our car, Brown Oldsmobile. Her name was Betsy.
Yeah, we had a rusted blue Chevy Caprice.
Betsy?
No, it wasn't Betsy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I tell you what, though, my wife is going to be mad that you talked me out of getting this farm.
Don't do it.
Appreciate it. You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent, and most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn,
and this is Cut to It. Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., that is me, is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson. Lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, Right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.